91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. We're 8 days into 2015. Is your New Year's resolution already torpedoed? We begin today with Caroline Arnold, author of Small Move, Big Change. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper with Bonnie Berman. She says resolutions are generally too big and doomed to fail. We'll learn about what she terms micro-resolutions. Also, Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining with wine columnist Fred Tasker. We'll learn more about a South Florida trend, top-notch eateries within the Adrian Arsht Center. Noted chefs Alan Susser and Hector Torres in the studio with us. That's next. Stay with us. Topical Currents, first the news. And it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman on this Thursday afternoon. Bonnie, a little question. You're laughing already. Can you please tell me why our most well-intentioned, reasonable resolves or resolutions almost always seem to run aground? I'm sitting here with a modest spare tire.
Modest.
And I know that I'm not going to be able to deflate it no matter how many resolution. Did you say modest with a question mark?
Well, no, in your case, you can't because it's part of one of the side effects from your surgery.
Well, but there's also the other side.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
My resolution, I guess, is to stay out of the hospital this year.
That's what I think is a good
resolution. Listeners might not be aware, but I missed a couple of months.
Seven.
Seven
but
months.
Who's counting?
Anyway.
Okay. So.
It's 2015. Whole new outlook.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So, well, you were going to mention spending more leisure time with family, paying bills on time, and I thought, not to be forgotten, quitting smoking, spending more time at the gym, eating more consciously, not being chronically late.
I'm never late.
Okay. Well, that's because we're in radio. So, I want, before we introduce our guest, we begin this hour with former Wall Street tech groundbreaker and a managing editor at Goldman Sachs, Caroline Arnold. And she's had some trouble staying focused. She's written Small Move, Big Change, using micro-resolutions to transform your life permanently. That's a tall order. So we want to engage our listeners. Have you made New Year's resolutions? How are you doing with them? And what about in years past? Do you have your own success stories? So we have Caroline Arnold joining us from New York City. Welcome, Caroline.
Thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good to hear as well.
So, like I said, your title of your book is a pretty tall order. We're going to transform our lives permanently. So let's begin with a definition of how you did it with micro resolutions. What is a micro resolution?
Well, in many ways, a micro resolution is an anti-New Year's resolution. And the classic New Year's resolution, which 90% of us fail at, is generally a grand, ambitious pledge to be a different person this year, to be neat, to be organized, to be thin, to be fit. And our willpower is really a very limited resource. When we fail at these large resolutions, we have a tendency to scold ourselves for a poor character or for being weak. But in fact, your willpower is extremely limited. And when you've tapped it out, it's gone, and you break down and you go back to your old behavior. What a micro resolution is a way of channeling that limited willpower resource against really reasonable, small behavioral changes that have a big impact in the areas where you're trying to make improvement. And I was, one of the people that failed at my New Year's resolutions every year, despite the fact that I, have very sort of successful year, let's say, at work, accomplished a lot of very big initiatives. Then I would go to do the one thing I wanted to do for myself, and after about 4 weeks, it was over. And 1 year, I did just take a step back from my behavior and sort of reassess what I was going to pledge to do. And instead of pledging to be different that year, I pledged to do one or two things specifically very differently. And I found, to my surprise, that I was able to make progress all year by sort of moving my focus from one behavioral change to another, and that I finally was able to achieve these goals and maintain them.
Well, let's take, for example, your resolution to be organized as that you failed at. So explain to us kind of, you know, how you succeeded using the micro resolutions.
Okay. So, yes, the easy 1 year I decided I don't want to fail again. I made the diet and gym resolution for 3 years running without really any change. I'll do something easy, and my easy resolution was to be organized. I thought that was easy because it didn't require eating less or going to the gym. And I did go out and get, like, all the desk organizers, and I color-coded my files, and I cleared up the backlog of paperwork, and I thought, see, look, I really can succeed. And after a few months, it had gone back to being just as much, you know, in disarray as it had been a few months previously. And that was the moment where I just did not want to give up on my resolution, because that was supposed to be my easy one. And when I decided to pick one behavior in which I felt I was disorganized and make a shift, and the one behavior that I focused on was that I couldn't locate notes easily. And my resolution, my micro resolution, was to keep all my notes in one notebook. I mean, it sounds very easy, but I'd say the first sort of aha moment I had was that any change is difficult. If you have a certain routine way of operating, and then you tell yourself you're only going to take notes in this book, not on a random pad, not on the back of an envelope, not on a presentation or whatever is convenient, that there's even a small skill that goes with being prepared, having your book out, having the pencil out. And over a period of but it irritated me to change my behavior in this way, but it was such a reasonable resolution. I thought, well, if I can't do this, I can't do anything. So I stuck with it. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, it started to feel pretty much as natural as brushing my teeth. It went into the sort of autopilot mode. And I realized I was getting so many benefits from it. I was much less stressed out if I had to try to find a note. Notes that I thought would be just throwaways that I put in the book turned out to be very important and significant later, a reference or something like that. And I took that model of changing my organizational behavior and decided to try the diet one again using a micro resolution. And my first diet micro resolution was simply not to eat conference room cookies ever again. I didn't say I wouldn't eat cookies, because that wouldn't be reasonable, but not to eat the cookies that just appeared in the conference room without bidding, that one is very susceptible to, let's say, in the late afternoon. And I had success with that. And so that sort of was my year of began my year of behaving differently, right, where I kept picking out behavioral shifts to make. And over a period of time, I lost the weight. I became the fittest I've been. I'm better in nearly every category. I'm certainly far from perfect. I mean, what I call neat is probably not what many of your listeners would call neat, but it's progress for me. And then friends and colleagues began practicing these micro resolutions and bringing me their stories, which still a large part of the book, but it's a very interesting and actually entertaining.
We're speaking with Caroline Arnold, a very successful Wall Street executive, and we're talking about her book, Small Move, Big Change. If you'd like to call in and join the party, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Now, Caroline, maybe you could walk me through this tomorrow. I have a dental appointment, and of course I'm going to get the ever-present dental flossing reprimand to floss my teeth every night before bed. Should I, with using the micro solution, should I just promise to do it every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or every Monday?
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring up
or
that
only
example.
Half my mouth?
No, that's a very funny example. My father once said to his dentist when he got that same lecture, I don't like to floss. And the dentist said to him, okay, just floss the teeth you want to keep. And that sort of was a wake-up call for him. He began doing it, and after a few weeks, he really liked doing it. He said his teeth itched if he didn't do it, which is actually how this kind of change takes place. You have to give yourself an experience of doing something differently in order to, A, experience the benefit, B, get used to it, And then realize that perhaps your preferences are realigning with your new behavior, because our preferences often hang back. I would say to you, Joseph, if you're not flossing your teeth, you should start flossing tonight and every night. And I think that is pretty much a micro resolution. It only takes a couple of minutes.
Yeah, that's a pretty small resolution.
Yeah.
So what's the theory behind this? Is it this the old case of needing instant gratification, seeing results quickly? Is that what's coming into play?
I think there's several dynamics at work. One is this business of how willpower really operates, that it's a mental resource that's limited. And not only is it limited, but it shares it's part of a common pool of mental resources, which include active initiative and decision making. And so if you draw down any of those sort of mental fortifiers, you're depleting your entire pool. So after a day of decision making, you're much more likely to be exhausted. It'll be harder for you to exert your willpower. A case in point, people don't get up in the morning and break their diet. They break their diet later. People go shopping, and they resist impulse purchases until the very end. They get in line, and they see a lot of shiny things in line, and they've made a lot of decisions, and their willpower is at low ebb, and they end up succumbing to these impulse purchases. So one tenet of this is to understand the limited nature of willpower, and whatever you resolve to do, you must be able to do consistently for about 4 or 5 weeks until the willpower is no longer required to do it. So that's one tenet. Another tenet is, of course, that our lives are run on a kind of autopilot. You probably don't realize how much of your life is run by autopilot, and it's really to conserve those mental resources. So when you tie your shoes or lock your front door or navigate to the bus stop, you really don't have to use any mental energy to do any of those things because you've done them so many times before they're part of autopilot. And this very limited willpower, when we make these very big resolutions, as we do at the new year, is like declaring war on that autopilot with that limited willpower store. And autopilot is nearly always the winner. So really the key is to channel your willpower against narrow behavioral targets that become part of autopilot where they will sustain you forever. And then you move that willpower resource to another couple of behavioral changes. And that dynamic is what actually sets you up for permanent self-improvement.
All right. We're going to get some more examples when you come back. Caroline Arnold, Managing Director and Technology Leader at Goldman Sachs. She's written Small Move, Big Change. And we'll be right back.
And 20 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Caroline Arnold. She's the author of Small Move, Big Change, and we'll have a link to the book on both our Facebook page and the WLRN.org website. Caroline, we're going to take a call right now, but when we finish with the call, I want you to tell us about your battles with sleep deprivation and how you used your method to overcome that. First up, we have Jenny in Key West. Oh, just a minute, Jenny. Our number is 1-800-743-9576 if you'd like to get in.
And tell us about your New Year's resolutions and how you're doing with them.
And Jenny is in wonderful Key West. Go ahead, Jenny.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just found this really helpful and interesting. I'm not trying to get into too broad of an area, but, you know, Americans are known for not taking their vacation, not being workaholics, the Puritan ethic and all of that. That's why I'm going to be particularly interested in what Caroline has to say about sleep. How does that work into all of this? So what comments do you have about the relationship with that? I retired a couple of years ago, and I found that being able to focus on these things rather than working 24/7, raising a family, etc., it made it almost impossible. And it's easier now, but I still have problems with it. So I'd love for the author to comment on that.
Okay, Caroline.
Oh. Yeah, thanks, Jenny, and I love Key West. I'll just toss it in. Yeah, you know, I think we topping the list of goals for the new year is often spend more time with family, learn a language, learn something new, get more rest, you know, things that surround the topic that you're talking about. How do I get a better balance in my life? And these micro resolutions are very helpful in that way and have proved very helpful to me. So I've used them to get both more time with people that are important to me and understanding how I lose time against those goals and to make that time, you know, higher quality time, and I can talk about that. I've used it to get more sleep. I've been very successful with that. And I've used it to get myself into learning some new things that I would have thought I needed hours and hours to get started with. I think, again, this autopilot is largely responsible for some of the stuff. You know, you get up, you go to work, you're on this program, and then you work hard, and you use all your resources all day, and you come back, and all the things you thought you would do with your free time kind of go out the wayside. But by targeting specific things that you want to get done. So, for example, you know, I mean, just I used to come home, and I would I'd be right on to cooking the family meal, and I'd be dealing with that family meal in the same way I dealt with everything during the day, like, you know, chopping, multitasking wildly, trying to get everything done quickly. And my husband would sort of try to contact me during this period. I'm like, you know what, I want to talk at dinner. Let me get this done. And one micro resolution was simply to loosen up about the fact that dinner might be 10 or 15 minutes later if I were speaking to somebody as I made it. And in doing that, I probably lost 10 minutes off the speed of getting it done, but I gained 40 minutes with my husband, and that was time away from our child that we could actually work on things. A small thing, just literally trying to find the places in the day. I've done a number of these things with my own child. And for things that I wanted to learn myself, I've found that if I say, okay, I'm going to do that for 15 minutes, you know, on Friday night before I go downstairs to, you know, watch television or whatever, that I can actually get a foothold into something new, and then it will take for itself. We mentioned sleep. You know, people tell that, you know, sleep is the secret sauce of life. It is also what restores your willpower and actually restores your ego. It puts hormones in balance that make it much, much easier to lose weight, which is a very common goal. But it's very hard to tell yourself, go to bed at such and such time, go to bed at such and such time, when we fight so hard for leisure time. What I found worked better is to prepare to be able to go to sleep on time by not going on the internet for sort of mindless surfing after 10 o'clock at night. The light wakes you up. I do something else. If I'm going to stay up late, I'm not staying up late doing that. Another issue I had with going to sleep on time was I would kind of rush downstairs to hang out with my husband, and we'd maybe watch a news program or something, and soon I'd be snoozing on the sofa. And I just couldn't face getting up to go to bed because it takes so much energy to floss your teeth and charge your phone and wash your face, all this stuff, that I would just keep sleeping. And then when I go upstairs to do those things, I would find myself wide awake from this nap. So I just made the simple micro resolution to get ready for bed at the same time as my daughter and not to sort of go down and hang out until I knew as soon as my head starts to droop, I can just get up and slip between the sheets. Those two changes got me 10 hours more sleep per week. Mm-hmm. That's a real game changer.
Really?
That's
great.
Let's try another caller, Bonnie and Caroline. Brian in Fort Lauderdale. Hi. Brian.
Hi, it's Brian.
Go ahead.
Hi. It's funny. I think I accidentally have experience with what your guest, who I'm thoroughly enjoying listening to, is describing. A couple of years ago, I've always had trouble trying to maintain my weight, big diets have never really been, I've never been able to sustain them for very long. So one year I just attacked soda. I just stopped drinking soda. Not 100% completely, but I mean, I went from drinking several sodas a day to drinking at most 12 a year, and really almost all of that was mouthfuls out of my own wife's soda.
How about a resolution? How about a resolution not to drive and be on your cell phone?
That'll never
happen. But I love your soda resolution. That's a great one. I think people think they have to change everything about what they're doing to lose weight. In fact, you look at that autopilot routine that you use for eating, and you zero in on one thing like soda, and you eliminate it or debug it. The new weight loss models show, the new weight loss model showed that if you can eliminate 100 calories a day, then you'll lose 10 pounds over 3 years, 5 pounds in the first year. So for every 10 pounds you want to lose over 3 years, you eliminate 100 calories. But don't eliminate them all at once. Get rid of the extra piece of bread you eat at dinner, you know, and can you sustain that? You know, if you eat a better breakfast, maybe you won't eat a donut at 11. You know, it is really just moving the dial until you aren't suffering this great deprivation, but you're actually just shifting either an eating habit or eating a bit less at the margin. And that's really where the action is in self-improvement. It's at the margin, not at the red-hot core. Because everything, you gain weight an ounce at a time or a half ounce at a time, not 10 pounds at a time.
That's right.
And we get so impatient, right? We get so impatient for progress that we just want to get it all off in 1 month. But that's a great story about soda and just so great for your health and everything else. Did you find you lost some weight?
I lost some weight, and I was able, but I stopped gaining weight. And the following year, I followed up with fast food. If I have to stop at fast food, I get a salad and never a burger. And again, it's not completely never. Sometimes I will treat myself to a burger or a chicken sandwich, but 95% of the time, I'm getting a salad if I have to stop for fast food.
Yeah, I thought that was great what you said, you stopped gaining weight, because when I did my don't eat a cookie in the conference room thing, I didn't lose so much, but I stopped gaining. And people often think that they're maintaining, and in fact, they're on this low-grade gaining thing, and you can't see it in real time, but you'll see it at the end of 1 or 2 years. Yeah,
I think I might be on a slow-grade decline in weight.
Right.
It's probably what it is.
That's good, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
that's good news.
Thanks for calling, and
thank you, and
good luck to you. Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Caroline, what's a favorite success story from your book? What's someone using micro-resolutions?
Boy, there's so many of them. Let's do, some relationship ones are interesting. I think when we try to, relationships are on patterns, too. The same things that your partner says that bug you will bug you tomorrow. If you're generally sarcastic or you complain or you're defensive or you're overly apologetic, this is part of a kind of patterning. And we tend to think of, relationships with other people. Often we think the problem is the other person. But again, you're not going to be able to change that person. But if you shift your own behavior, you'd be surprised in the shift, in the behavior of others. So, one of mine was, the first one I ever made that was sort of relationship-based was, I would come home and I'd be cooking and I'd be getting ready and I'd spend a lot of time on working that day. And my husband would say something to me like, you left the light on in the basement. And I would feel this load of resentment, but I would hear myself apologize and then, worse, go on and explain, which was really a big defense, which was really kind of, I do so much, how could you call this to my attention? And one night I thought, what would happen if I just said, okay, or oh, not I'm sorry, because I don't mean it. And it was a magical, magical change. I didn't feel full of resentment for the evening. The evening didn't have a sour air over it. My husband then, because I wasn't sucking all the air out of the room with my big explanation, would say, it's no big deal, but I thought you'd want to know. Is a gotcha a getcha if it doesn't, gotcha a gotcha if it doesn't getcha? It's just like, okay, it's informational. Another great story from the book, which is not me, but someone else who was passed over for a job because she was told she had a bit of a negative attitude, and she was very sort of shocked by that, though she did have a habit of complaining. And she thought, though, everyone complains at work. So she made a micro-resolution not to be the first to complain, which I thought was very clever. Just not that I'll never complain, because that would be impossible, but I won't be the first to complain. And the very day she made the resolution, there was a management decision, and she thought, now everyone's going to start complaining, and I can join in, and nobody said a thing. And in that moment, from just shifting her behavior by that half a degree, she saw she really was the person who was starting most of the bitching about these things. And it had a big effect on her. In so many of these things, whether you're defensive, apologetic, or sarcastic, you won't be able to change everything overnight. But if you can change in one circumstance your response, not to complain about a certain topic at work, let's say. Only
Caroline,
to complain about it at home.
Yes. Caroline, Bonnie has made a New Year's resolution on our program to stay within format and meet her breaks on time.
Okay.
Well, Caroline Arnold is a managing director and technology leader at Goldman Sachs. Her book is Small Move, Big Change, Using Micro Resolutions to Transform Your Life Permanently. And we want to thank you so much for joining us, and we'll have a link to your book on our website.
Well, thank you so much for having me and giving me a chance to connect to your listeners. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take
food
care.
Food and Dining up next. And we're back on today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. And joining us now, as usual on Thursday, we have chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastineimer. Well known, even internationally, for her Dinner in Minutes column, her numerous books, and culinary insights. So if I understand correctly, Linda, we're talking about really good restaurants that aren't on freestanding property, whatever that means, I guess.
I'm not sure what you mean, but it's nice to be with both
Happy
of you.
Happy New Year, Linda.
And to you, and starting our 16th year
that's
together.
That's right. 1999, January 4th, so.
Here we are, and we're all friends still. There you go.
Really?
Okay, Joe, questions that we were asked. At our last restaurant review program, we were asked, where can you eat near the Arts Center?
Mm-hmm.
And many times people have asked us that. So now we have some good news. There are two new restaurants right there at the center. Chef Alan Susser has opened his cafe, and it's called The Cafe at Books and Books. And he's here to tell us all about that. So welcome, Chef Alan.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you. Happy New Year.
Our pleasure, because you filled us the studio with food.
Wow.
And so has Chef Hector. There's another new restaurant. It's in the old Prelude spot. That's right in the center itself, and it's called Brava. And Chef Hector Torres is here to tell us about that. Welcome, Chef Torres.
Hi. Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
And he brought us the best anniversary dessert platters. Yeah, I mean, if you want to see what they look like, I posted them on Instagram.
Yeah, you really have to see them.
Oh,
yeah,
they're really.
Raspberries.
The strawberry shortcake.
Cupcakes are enormous. And
flan?
It's actually mango flan, yes.
Mango flan.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. All right, but we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have a question or maybe some suggestions for our chefs? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or we'll take your email at radio@WLRN.org, radio@WLRN.org.
And also, of course, with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. You can read Fred's wine suggestions from my Dinner Minutes columns, but you can also read his column on the Saturday food section of the Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
You know, I was going to suggest the Herald Cafeteria as a place near the Arch for eating, but I guess that's not true anymore, unfortunately.
That would be very difficult if you've seen pictures of the destroyed building these days.
Well, it was bad food, but a great view, so it was kind of nice. Actually, I'm going to talk about, you're talking about new places to eat, so I'm going to talk about new things to drink.
Sounds good to me. Excuse me. Okay, let's go to Chef Alan. The Cafe at Books and Books. So where is it at the center?
Well, it's on 13th Street and Biscayne Boulevard, so right on the corner in what is the Sears Tower or the Carnival Tower.
What we used to know is the Sears Tower, and now it's the Carnival Tower.
Exactly. And so right there on the corner, come in off the street, and you'll find the Cafe of Books and Books. It's a bookstore as well as a cafe. So we've got the same flavors of a bookstore that we have in Coral Gables and on Lincoln Road with Books and Books, but the cafe is serving new foods, very locally inspired, commitment and passion to what we have here locally and flavors of foods, great artisan tartines, snacks, great plates, and I can go through the whole of it.
The whole
yeah,
list. Well, they need
absolutely.
Just to go there. So if I want to go...
What's a tartine? Sorry.
A tartine is actually a modern sandwich. It's an open-faced sandwich. great bread, so we use Zach's bread, we toast it, and then an example of an open-faced sandwich is a salmon tartine with a smoked salmon and preserved lemons, or another one that we do is avocado and grilled shrimp. So it's a really interesting, fresh approach to sandwiches focused on great ingredients that are delicious.
So I want to ask you then, if I want to go there, I mean, where do I park? What do I do?
Okay, easy parking right across from the Arsht. On the south side of the Arsht is parking.
And that's called Lot C?
Lot C. Yeah. It's actually free until 10 a.m., so we're opening breakfast this week, and so that it's free parking.
So stop off and get some.
So what time, exactly. What time do you open?
We open 7 in the morning.
Okay.
So 7 in the morning, we've got great breakfast items as well as great coffee.
And until what time do you close?
10 o'clock at night on regular days. When we have a show, we'll stay open until after the show.
Great.
So you could stop. People used to complain that there wasn't any parking around the Performing Arts Center. I did a story a few years ago, and I actually paced it off, and there are 3,000 parking spaces within a 9-minute walk of the center, so that's not a problem.
So no excuses there. No excuses there.
Full disclosure, I went there, and I loved it. I went with Paul one afternoon after work.
Paul Leary, right? Our engineer.
Okay. Yes, and our online producer, and it was really excellent, outstanding.
And you can sit inside, or you could sit outside.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I did that, and before a show, and we sat outside in the beautiful weather.
Yeah.
So lucky to be here in Miami.
And surrounded by great books, and that are all for sale.
Great books, very relaxing under the palm trees, and in front actually is under an arbor of trees, so that the coffee bar outside on 13th and Biscayne, then coming inside is inside, and then in the promenade where you actually have a waterfall. So it's very three different sort of dining rooms, all the same great flavors, all the same great food.
That sounds wonderful. Let's go to Chef Torres here.
Sure.
And so Chef Torres, Brava, what's going on there? What kind of food is it?
Brava is kind of like international cuisine, using all the flavors from Miami, Florida, Italian, very great local products, microgreens. We're using fresh strawberries from our local farmers. We're using excellent products.
That sounds wonderful. So now, how do I have to make a reservation? Are there different sittings? Is it a prefixed menu? I mean, how does it work there? Because we're used to it being quite regimented before.
We offer you the best deal.
Okay, that sounds good.
you book on us our reservation under the Art Center website. You use your log, and in a website you can use and pay your reservation. You pay parking, you pay meal, and then you pay your ticket for the show for $49, and that's with including the taxes and the tips.
Now, let me ask you, the parking is included in that price?
And yes. Tip?
And tip and gratuity.
Absolutely.
The whole thing's included.
The whole thing.
Everybody run.
Yeah.
not
get it while it's hot.
But not the ticket to the show.
No.
Just the food and the parking.
Just the food and parking.
And the gratuity and the tips.
And the
all included. And
how
you
do
can
you time the meals so that they're over at the right time to walk into the gallery and to see a show? Do you have seatings to timed with the shows, or how does that work?
Actually, that's a good question. Our meals are basically prefixed. I know exactly what we have to serve. We have options in the menu and upgraded in the menu. It's actually open a couple hours prior to the show, and we just monitor it right before the show in that way that guests get on time to see the show.
You flash the lights or something when a show is about to
start? They stop the wine, Fred. That's how they know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Cut off the wine. That'll do it.
So what? So if I didn't want to do this whole order everything in advance, and I decided last minute I wanted to go, can I just walk in?
Absolutely. You walk in. We also promoting a bar menu. Like, it's a quick menu. You can walk in. You are like 15, 20 minutes to the show, and you came up late. Your reservation is over, but you're still able to come into the bar, and we offer you something to quick eat meal in order to you get into the show
so
on time.
So you can have a quick bar meal.
Yes.
Either at the table or at the bar there. It's a beautiful bar there. So
it is.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And you're right there. You just have to walk downstairs to the show.
Just walk to the show.
And it's so nice to be able to just park once and and have all that great food. Mm-hmm. Now, well, before I get to the next one, I just have to stop because this place is filled with food and we haven't even mentioned it.
Yeah.
And Chef Allen, you were talking about your tartines and everything. Those are the sandwiches. Tell us what you brought.
Exactly, sure. Well, the sandwiches are a kind of nice approach, so it's easy eating and fun. The tartine that I brought are on Zach's Breads. I brought a grilled
shrimp
and
avocado. That's Zach the baker. He's been here. Yeah,
yes.
Wonderful baker.
Great guy. Grilled shrimp, wild shrimp from the Gulf Coast, and with avocado, fresh avocado, watercress, and saffron aioli. So that's one example. Another that
aioli is a mayonnaise.
Yeah,
saffron. I just wanted to translate
I'm
for you,
sorry.
Chef. That's
yes.
Okay. Keep going.
Keep
it's
me
a garlic mayonnaise,
there.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's kind of a slight bit of garlic in
right.
it. In that. The smoked salmon with a pink lady apple, which is a nice crisp sour apple, along with that on top of brie, and finished with preserved lemons that are house made. So that.
Wow.
Actually, to make preserved lemons, it actually takes about 3 months. So I started this before we opened, preserving the lemons in that sort of fashion. And then the prosciutto, which has fresh buffalo mozzarella and green olives and tempanade.
Okay. Now, Chef Torres, you brought us the salmon that has this wonderful glaze on it, and it's under polenta, and it's really good. But I have to get to these desserts because they are amazing. You've got... Explain that they're little plastic cups, like 4 or 5 bites out of each one.
Yeah, we was planning to have something quick to our customers and something that they can have walking out of the restaurant into a show. And we're planning to have those kind of shooters, what we call shooters, and we also have kind of upgraded dessert. One of them, the best great ones are key limes, strawberry cheesecake, they like a lot. We also have a molten lava cake. We actually have, we brought it for you guys' anniversary, a mango flan. we just made that as a great product.
I want to tell everyone, it's the size of a big shot glass is what they are. So you can enjoy it and not feel too guilty.
Right.
Absolutely.
And eat it fast. But then you have these huge cupcakes with the raspberries on top, whipped cream, chocolate sauce. And I understand you just made those this morning.
I just made that this
morning. So they're moist.
I was thinking of you guys' anniversary today and say I had to bring something good.
You knew.
Good one.
And then there's a chocolate, like a little bunch.
Drizzle.
Cake.
Is it drizzle or chocolate? It's actually coin chocolate melted and infused with raspberry. The base of vanilla pound cake on
vanilla pound
cake. I've got to try it.
Yeah, now, so he's going to dig into it because now we have to go to a break. And guess what we're going to do with a break? Never mind.
Enjoy.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about the new food options at the Arts Center with Chef Allen Susser and Chef Hector Torres. We'll take a short break and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking about the new food venues at the Adrian Arts Center for the Performing Arts, the cafe at Books and Books with Chef Allen, who's running that, and also Brava Restaurant with Chef Hector Torres. That's in the old Prelude spot at the center. And we've been really enjoying some of this wonderful food they've brought with us. We just wanted to clarify one point that we were talking about. It's $49 for the meal at Brava. That includes the tip and the gratuity. Parking is $15, but you can also order that all online. If you're ordering your tickets, so easy to just order your parking and your food and you're good to go for a wonderful evening. Thinking about shedding a few holiday pounds, I just wanted to mention that I have a new detox program after I've eaten all this food here that includes fresh organic food along with juices. And an interview with the Real Housewives of Miami TV show, Lisa Hochstein, who also uses that program. And that's in today's Miami Herald. So if you're interested in detox or a food detox, a new food detox, it's in today's Miami Herald. Okay.
And is it detox in minutes?
Yeah. Won't take you too long to eat the food, I'll tell you.
All right.
Okay. Well, talk about that. It's dinner in minutes time. And this is a one-pot dinner, and it's not going to break your calorie or your budget bank. And it's good for tonight. It's going to be cold tonight. So this is a pasta and bean soup. It only takes 30 minutes, start to finish. That's when you open the light in your kitchen. It's really start to finish. And I added a new zip to this pasta and bean soup. It's horseradish with a little vinegar that you add at the end. And then, of course, a little cheddar cheese on top always helps. And it tastes great the second day, so you can make it a day ahead, or you make extra, and you'll have another meal waiting for you. You can even freeze it. So you sauté some onion, carrots, and celery, just a few minutes. Then I added some canned tomatoes, some water, and I boiled that for a few minutes. I added some cabbage. You can buy that already sliced in the supermarket. Fusilli's pasta, which is that corkscrew pasta. Boil that for 10 minutes just to cook the pasta through. Then at the end, I mix some horseradish with some vinegar, fresh spinach, some beans, and some deli ham. And if you wanted to make it vegetarian, leave out the ham and add more cheese. Simple as that. So the recipe and a photo, it's at my very new, well, now it's 2 months old, new website, dinnerinminutes.com. Come and have a look. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, in keeping with the theme of things that are new in 2015, I have something that's radically new, maybe even unprecedented. This is a New Year's resolution that you might actually keep. And by now, you've probably broken all the well-meaning ones that you've already made. So here's a new one. Now, repeat after me. I resolve that I will try at least one new wine per month in 2015. You can do that, right?
We'll try.
That's doable.
Yes, okay. But how am I going to find my new one? What is it going to be?
Well, you don't have to have something obscure, just a wine that you haven't had before. And there are thousands of wines out there. So just something other than Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon all the time. So here are a couple of possibilities. The first one is Barbera. It comes from the Piedmont region of Asti in Italy's Alpine foothills. And this is a light and lively red wine from the grapes, also called Barbera. And Luca Bosio, B-O-S-I-O, Vineyards, makes one for only about $15. It's light-bodied and smooth with flavors of red plums, and it goes well with chicken, ham, pork, pasta, risotto, you name it. It's a very versatile wine. A second possibility is by the California sparkling wine house called Schramsberg, and this is called Cremant Demi-Sec. This is an unusual sparkling wine. The word Cremant in French means creamy, and this wine feels creamy in your mouth because its bubbles are softer and created under lower pressure. And it's called demi-sec or half-dry because it's just a little bit sweeter than most sparkling wines. Schramsberg offers one of those for $39. Now, if you check my, there are a long list of wines you can try, and my wine column in the Herald a week from Saturday, I'll have a big list of other wines.
So that'll help us continue to promise, keep our promise, right? Because
yeah,
in a couple of weeks, we'll be looking for another wine.
Yeah, so you'll be needing it, so I'll be happy to supply it.
Good.
Or you can just go to your local wine shop and tell the clerk there what you're doing and have him or her suggest some good wines. Or you can create your own list. Just find one new unfamiliar wine a month for a whole year, and you'll know more wines than any of your beer-drinking friends.
All right. That sounds good. Let's get back to the Arts Center for a few minutes. If you come in late, like coming from work or something, you're running for a performance, I noticed, that, Chef Torres, that there are kiosks at the center. So tell us about those. There are little stands where I can grab a sandwich or something.
Yes.
That from your restaurant?
Yes, it's basically part of our restaurant's operation. When we have a show in performance, we actually sell those concessions outlets. Then you were able to eat something quick, sandwich, snack, something fresh from the farm, and able to proceed to your show.
So I presume you're not supposed to take food to your seat, though, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're not supposed to have any food. That's the reason we do have a quantities amount that will be able that you can eat in less than 15 minutes break.
So even at intermission, you can grab something if you're starving on your way. And Chef Allen, we were talking earlier before the show about there's a farmer's market. It's in front of Books and Books, actually.
It is. You know, what we're trying to do is that the Arts Center is a wonderful place for the whole community. And with Books and Books, the cafe at Books and Books, and the farmer's market on Mondays from 4 to 8, we're trying to make it approachable for the whole neighborhood. So the farmer's market, which has great fresh produce from the homestead, Kiki L&B's down there, L&B Farms, and there's several other purveyors. Zach's Breads are being sold there as well as others. But the whole idea is, with the cafe at Books and Books, is to make it approachable for the neighborhood, people to come into the neighborhood, so that no matter where you are, whether you're coming for a show or you're here going downtown or passing through to South Beach, you can stop at the cafe and have a great meal. It can be something wonderful, simple, organic. We use a lot of local ingredients, organic quinoa and kale, a wild mushroom and stir fry, so that we do vegetable dishes, vegetarian dishes, gluten-free dishes, but also really delicious, wonderful salads and burgers and paninis as well.
So, and I understand that both you and Chef Torres are buying some of your food for the restaurants from this farmer's market.
All the time.
Yes.
We go into the market actually early as the farmers are setting
try
up.
Try to grab the best deal and the best products.
As chefs, that's what we kind of do. You really want to get in and buy what you can.
This weekend coming up.
Yes, it's going to be terrific. Well, you know, I could talk on and on, but you know what? We're out of time. Very tasty week, Chef Allen Susser. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Chef Torres.
Thank you very much.
And Bonnie and Joe, we ate well today,
yes,
didn't we?
Yes, and happy anniversary.
To all of us. Yeah. Absolutely.
Indeed. Including Fred.
And Fred. Fred, great thank advice you. As always. Well, next week, we're going to be talking with the winner of the Badia Spice Miss Universe Cooking Contest, and the Miss Universe contestants are going to be actually cooking. Because my question to them was, do they really eat? And we're going to have the winner on our show next week.
Can I go along?
You sound like my husband. Yeah, that's the first thing he said. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And that wraps up today's program. Our producer is Richard Ives. Technical direction provided by online producer Paul Leary. Find free audio downloads of Topical Currents at our website, WLRN.org. More information, links, discussion, and photos at the TC Facebook page, including today's desserts. Tomorrow at 1, it's Ed Bell and his South Florida Arts Beat. Monday, we return with a program about South Florida environmental hotspots, including a proposed Disney-like theme park just north of Zoo Miami. And today's calendar. On this day in 1933, 82 years ago, the birth of CBS News journalist and poet-in-residence Charles Osgood in New York City. He was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in 1990. His famous sign-off, until then, I'll see you on the radio. And on this day in 1935, 80 years ago, the birth of Elvis Aaron Presley in Tupelo, Mississippi. He was first billed as the Hillbilly Cat. One more before we tiptoe away. On this day, 1965, 50 years ago, the arrest in Miami of Jack Murph the Surf Murphy, a surfing champion. He robbed the Museum of Natural History of the fabled Star of India Diamond in 1964. Later convicted of a murder committed near Hollywood, Florida. Today, Murph the Surf is a prison ministry preacher. Go figure. He lives in Crystal River, Florida. So we leave with a thought from Charles Osgood, who is also a gifted pianist. Quote from Osgood, "There are no exceptions to the rule. that everybody likes to be an exception to the rule. Linda doesn't get it. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now from NPR News.